this morning. We will not be having the psalm as you have it on the front page. We'll begin with the singing of the first three stanzas of Beautiful Savior that you have on the back side of the bulletin. Our text this morning is the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the one holy Christian and apostolic church clearly confesses that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will return to this world in a way that will be obvious to all. We confess that he will come to judge the living and the dead. He shall come again with glory. The creeds of the early centuries of the church confess without hesitation as an article of faith the return of Christ at the last day. The church makes such confession because our Lord has left us with his own prophecy of these last times. Jesus spoke often about the coming of his kingdom. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have many chapters dedicated to our Lord's word about his kingdom, the various signs of the end, and his desire that we be ready. Jesus wants you to know this. Here in St. Luke's Gospel, we are told some of the signs of the last day. These signs are such that they will create distress, perplexity, fear, and failing hearts. In other words, the signs are terrifying. The heavens will show the imminent return of Jesus, signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. The very powers of heaven will be shaken, says Jesus to you and me. He gives some more details that St. Matthew recorded for us. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The first words of our text teach us that Jesus is not giving us a hypothetical situation. He is not setting up a bedtime fairy tale, but he says, there will be signs. Not might be, not maybe, not possibly, not probably, but the predictive prophecy, there will be. Our human inclination is not to take Jesus' word of the last day seriously. Anything that is future-oriented does not seem all that real to us. Sometimes that is simply a matter of our age. For those of us who are younger, future events hardly seem imminent. For those of us of a more advanced age, future events seem a bit more likely. Yet even then, we find ways to avoid such talk. But the truth is, the end of the world as we know it will not leave many feeling fine. The very opposite is foretold by Jesus. The sight of the Son of Man coming in power and great glory will be a fearsome sight for many. The signs of distress and perplexity are a preview of the human reaction to the return of Jesus. It will be a time when our sin that seemed innocuous, or not even sin, is revealed as death itself, just hiding for a time under a veneer of what made us feel good and at peace for years. Jesus' return strips away any hope of hiding sin. Some will go so far as to call upon rocks to fall on them that they might find concealment from the judgment they presumed would never be real. Such have chosen poorly. Listen to the Apostle John's description in Revelation 6. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The real turn or twist in this short text of Luke is found in verse 28. As we've heard, Jesus began by speaking of the fear, distress, perplexity for many at his return, and all the accompanying signs. But would that be the only reaction? Who should not respond with such fear? Those who believe in Jesus as their Savior. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. A stark contrast is presented to us by Jesus, cowering in fear or looking up in hope. Despite the chaos and confusion of the last day, we may look forward to it without the distress of those who've rejected Jesus. Instead of an angry judge who righteously sees our sin and sets us at the left hand of himself as the goats destined for hell, we see our redemption. The day, the last day, is so often rightly taught in order to warn secure sinners of their need to repent. We need not wonder if such a warning is still needed in our day. It certainly is. But the prophecy of the coming of the last day is also meant for those who desire to follow Christ, to be his disciples, to believe in his mercy and forgiveness. We may need to hear it as an admonition to ourselves. This is no time for letting down our guard, for sleepy watchmen on the walls. We live in the end times, and the last day is imminent. But still, there is great comfort for us here from Jesus. You need not fear the one who is your Redeemer. Don't you know what the eternal Son of God has done for you? He came here to be your brother, flesh and blood, like you have. He came here to carry your sin. He came so that your death would fall on him and to pay for your sin with his life, rising again the third day. Jesus is the one, and these are his works for you, which you will recognize on that last day, because there is your redemption in person. That's why Jesus says, look up, lift up your heads. Your redemption draws near. This will not be a scary day. Jesus comes to comfort, to rescue in mercy and kindness. God bless you with hope and confidence as you see that last day drawing near. Come, Lord Jesus. Our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun so longed for, o'er this benighted sphere. With hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise and let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, thou camest into the world in the name of thy Father to be a king and a justifier of many, even to save thy people from their sins. Thou camest to thine own, and they received thee not. Wherefore thou camest to us poor Gentiles, and still visitest us in thy word and sacrament. O Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, precious Savior, only hope of mankind, blessed art thou that comest in the name of the Lord. In thee do our hearts rejoice, and all that is within us is glad because of thy help and deliverance. Thou art he who was to come, and we look not for another. Wherefore, abide with us and fill our hearts anew from day to day with thy presence. O blessed Savior, may we, with the faithful of all ages, remain steadfast unto death, and as thou wilt return again at the end of the world to deliver us from all evil, grant that we may await with joy the time of our redemption, and watch and pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things which shall then come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. All these blessings we ask for the sake of thine infinite love. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.